Hello and welcome to the Unbroken Ground. This is season 2, episode 14. So glad that you joined me again. Super happy to be getting to talk again. Looking forward to this one. As I stated last week, it was I had wanted to talk about something and then I didn't get to because I mumbled on about some other stuff. So this week we're going to talk about the Saturday in between the death of Jesus on the cross and Resurrection Sunday. So the title will be Happy Death Day to You. And that is not a reference to the horror movie that's out, nor is it really a reference to the Alien Ant Farm, but a song that of the same title, although I do love that song, mostly because I just love all of the first album that Alien Ant Farm put out, and that's one of the songs on there. So if you don't know what that is, then you need to go back and listen to some good old early 2000s alternative rock, or not, if that's not your thing. But yeah, so happy death day to you. We're going to talk about the day in between the death of Jesus and the resurrection and what implications that might have for our lives today. So, hey, yeah, we're going to jump into that right now. So this is very interesting kind of dynamic that we have, that we kind of work through here for the theology on what happens on the day that not even the theology. I think just the thoughts, just thinking through like what it would be like to be the disciples, to walk with Jesus, to talk with Jesus, to hear Jesus, to touch Jesus, to be with the Messiah in person, and to start the week of Holy Week, right? We start with Palm Sunday, and the disciples themselves start to see that here comes the crowd. Jesus is being welcomed in as a ruler, basically. They're chanting Hosanna. I think many of the disciples probably thought that this was the moment. This was the moment that Jesus was going to really set up his kingdom. And Jesus was not, and it was. I think we have to agree that this was the moment that he did that, but not in the way that they were thinking. They definitely were thinking of a kingdom like Caesar, and that is not the type of kingdom Jesus set up. And so it probably was like some form of whiplash to go through that, to experience this very high moment of the people, you know, praising him, welcoming him to Jerusalem, him riding on a colt, and to the night of the Last Supper, that when Jesus told them that he was going to die. It would be something I think that it would be so outside their understanding or they're able to see that they probably just couldn't even comprehend the change from being proclaimed as ruler and king over all these things to being crucified, to being dead, and I think that they didn't really know what he was talking about. And so I think they would have found themselves very confused and distraught, disappointed, depressed, lost, broken on the Saturday of Holy Week, because their rabbi, their leader, their Messiah, for all they knew, for all the rest of the days that they would walk on the earth, for all the rest of the days of their life, all they knew was that he was dead. And it's quite clear that the disciples had no frame of reference to understand or to grasp what it meant, what resurrection meant, what Jesus was even talking about when he was talking about being resurrected, what that would look like, how that would work. They just didn't have a frame of reference. And we talk about it. It becomes almost like commonplace to be able to talk about it. Oh yeah, Jesus came back from the dead. And especially if you just kind of hang out in Christian circles all your life, you don't really get outside of that. You don't get outside of like America that's been just totally immersed in the idea of Jesus's death and resurrection and that he came back from the dead. Even those that don't believe it, know the story, or they at least know the details, even if they don't know the finer points. They know basically that Christians believe in. So it's not like a shock to hear, people talking about Jesus coming back from the dead. Instead, it's something maybe that skeptics will scoff at, but it's not anything, again, that would be totally shocking to somebody here in America, because it's become so commonplace and such common knowledge almost. Even if there's people who don't believe it, they still are like, oh yeah, that's a thing that they believe, that those Christians believe, that's what they believe about it. So they don't, the idea is not shocking. But if you were a disciple, even if you had saw Lazarus being raised from the dead, as they did, and they saw some people getting raised from the dead, nothing in their experience had prepared them for kind of the self-resurrection that Jesus was going to go through. Like, Jesus was able to raise people from the dead because God was blessing him with that power, but like, no one that they knew of, that they were aware of, could do this whole come back from the dead that Jesus is about to do. So they don't have a frame of reference for that. So with Friday night, they saw their Savior, they saw their Messiah, they saw their Rabbi buried. And then Saturday they had to start trying to figure out what to do with their lives. In a world where for 3 years they had walked around with the person that they believed would give them eternal life, that they believed was God, who had just been brutally murdered. So they're also wondering, I'm sure, like, am I next? I was his follower. I walked with him. How harshly or how hard are these, Pharisees going to chase this down? Like what's going to happen now? And I think they would have been quite lost. I think they would have been quite depressed, despondent, in full mourning and full grieving for their rabbi, their teacher that they love. They would have been shocked that Judas betrayed him. They would have been shocked that Jesus said Judas, had hung himself. Like, there was just so much. And, for them, even as Jews, that was a Sabbath. And so there wasn't a whole lot going on. Like, they were like, there's a rest day for them. And so I imagine, just from the we don't really know what they did on the day in between, but they gathered together. They were gathered together on Sunday morning when the tomb was found to be empty. So I would imagine they would gather together, and they probably just tried to make sense of what they had lived, the life they had lived, the things they had heard, the things they had done, and now all of a sudden, Jesus is dead. Saturday, for the disciples, was a day of death because they didn't know what the future was going to bring. They didn't know about resurrection. They didn't understand that kind of power. And I get it, right? Like, this is not a knock on the disciples. I mean, we wouldn't either. Like, we have a hard time imagining things and understanding things that we have never experienced and that don't fit into our normal understanding of how the world works. Like, we struggle with that. And so it's no doubt that the disciples would as well. They would have been lost. And what are they going to do? I mean, they all quit their jobs, right? They all were like, oh yeah, we're going to be students of Jesus. And so they all quit their jobs. They, for 3 years, they've been doing this thing. We're like, yeah, we're part of this kingdom kind of movement. We're really, really liking that, right? Jesus, us, we're, you know, we're following after him and he's showing us, he's taking us in the directions, he's guiding us. He's like, yeah, this is so good. And then he's gone. What do they do? I think we as Christians like to jump ahead because we're like, oh, but dude, we know the end of the story, right? We know what's going to happen. Sunday's coming. It's such a good thing. Like Friday's only good because of Sunday, right? But here's the thing I think is true. I talked last week about some spiritual realities that I think are true. That there are spiritual laws. And I think one of the things that God has done is to weave into our physical and spiritual world is cycles of life, growth, fall. So think about the seasons. So you have spring when there's new life, you have summer where there's, it seems like everything is just going so well, everything is kind of sunny and bright. You have fall, which is the preparation for winter, which is where things die. If you're a farmer, like, you know the seasons and you know when to plant and you know when to harvest, and you know that there will be a time when the field just doesn't produce, because that is the winter. And so to me, there's a very interesting, I think it's a spiritual law. I mean, obviously this is like, God doesn't necessarily come out and say this, like there's no Bible passage that's like, oh, here's all the spiritual laws. But I think there is this spiritual reality that there is in our lives going to be a continuous cycle of new life of spring, of flourishing life of summer, the decline of life in fall, and then winter when things die. And we're going to continuously be on that cycle. I mean, you know, if you want to look at like Ecclesiastes, where it's going to tell you about like, there's a time for this and there's a time for that, and there's a time for this, and then there's a time for that. And the idea is that the seasons are going to turn. And I don't think that Ecclesiastes or God or even is even thinking about just physical seasons, although that's true for our lives, but also spiritual seasons. And so I think that when in our modern mind, because we have in our eyes been able to conquer so much of the seasonal change of things, like we can grow fruit whenever we want. We can grow vegetables using lights and irrigation. We don't have to be dependent. We still are. I mean, today farmers are still very dependent upon the seasons working like the seasons will. And if you have a, you know, particularly dry season or a hot season or a cold season or you have a late frost, all of these things affect how things will grow. It is all determined on a season, but the season is that constant rhythm of the earth, of our world. And so I think there too is a constant rhythm of our spiritual lives. And when we don't, because especially in America, in our culture, when we have basically said that we are just going to be the, we're going to get rid of the things like death, the things where there's decline. Everything always should be on the upswing. Everything should be new, or it should be in that prospering time. And we work very hard. We work very hard so that we don't have to deal with the decline. We have medications to and surgeries and things to fix the declines of our bodies. We have We have ways to grow crops and ignore the seasons. I mean, the whole capitalism economic system is based upon the fact that if a company is successful, it'll be better than it was last year. It'll make more money than it did last year. And so that means they either have to cut costs or they have to figure out another way to sell more. And so, but there's because of the way that our society and looks at this on what success is, and so it forces this never ending cycle of more, 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 more. You got to do more. You got to sell more. You got to make more. And if you're not doing those things, then you aren't succeeding. And instead of having kind of the idea that there's a rhythm to things, that there's going to be spring where there's new life and kind of growth starts, and then summer where you see that bounty, and then fall when it starts to decline, and then winter when you have, you know, death, we say, well, no, we should be growing all the time. We should be flourishing all the time. We should be in springtime all the time. And spiritually, that's just not the way it works. I believe, if you want to look into this a little bit more, I think Mark Buchanan does a great book called Spiritual Rhythm. I know there are other authors who talk about this idea that there is actually a rhythm to our lives that we constantly go through. And in America, I think what we very much like to try to avoid, what we very much like to try to avoid talking about or thinking about, is that in that rhythm is death. In the seasons, there is a time when things die. And I think that the day in between the cross and the resurrection is a perfect example of death, I mean, literally, but also the spiritual realities that as God is working, sometimes things will die so that a new thing can become the reality. And in our lives, we have to learn how to discern as best we can how God is at work in that. Jesus told his disciples, he said, dude, it's better if I go away. I mean, and of course they're like, what are you talking about, Jesus? Like, what do you mean it's better if you go away? What do you mean? Like, we like you here. We're ready for the kingdom. We want to establish the kingdom as it is right now. And Jesus says, no. When I go away, I'll send the Holy Spirit. It's actually better that I go away. It's actually better that I die. And the disciples are like, no, we just want you to be here. We want you to set up your kingdom. And he's like, I will, but the path to the kingdom, the path to creating the heavenly kingdom, to set up the kingdom, to unleash the power of the kingdom is through death. And I love back, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, 12 years ago, the David Crowder Band put out a book that was tongue-in-cheek, I'm sure. But they said, you know, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. And when you think about that, if you're going to go to heaven, then unless Jesus comes back, you got to die. But then there's another part to that, right? There's another part to that because the fact is that Jesus says that if you want to follow him, you die to yourself, you pick up your cross, you pick up your weapon of execution, your shame, your that thing that shames you, the thing that kills you, you pick that up, you carry your cross and follow him. If you want to follow, then you have to die. But we have made life so much about life that we get very hesitant and get very reluctant to see anything die, to see the cycle as it is. The truth is that if this is how God has redeemed death. And again, this is not like a worship of death or like we're a cult of death. We're going to worship the actual that death is good. I mean, it's got its hurt that's involved with it. It's got its fear. I mean, but it is part of the spiritual journey of life that things will die. And even the physical world, like, what is it that feeds life, new life? It's the dead things that fall to the earth and they get those nutrients that were part of them when they were alive now become part of the dirt and they get repurposed. And so the new life comes from the old death. The new life comes from the death of, you know, a new tree, a new plant, a new field. There is what it feeds on, the fertilization, the food that it feeds on is the things that die. A seed can't live. A seed can't become a new plant unless it falls off and dies. Jesus says that. He's like, you're not going to have a new life until that thing falls and dies. Of course, speaking of himself. And so that's what, like God spiritually works through death and redeems it. Like Jesus redeems this idea of like I'm going to die, but I'm going to redeem. I'm going to bring something new. And that is that's a cycle, right? It's the cycle that winter, you have all the plants are dead and everything looks like, oh, there's no life anymore. And then spring comes. It's happening right now here in Illinois. And I love it because we go from plants and trees being bare. And then within, I mean, days, really, it's, you know, 2 weeks. And all of a sudden that those plants that were bare now have leaves. They have new life, right? Then we go through winter where everything kind of goes through a dormant stage or a death stage and then comes back out to new life. And so God has actually built this into the physical world. And I think it's a spiritual concept too, that we miss sometimes because we want so much to be life, growth. Everything's so going so good. Everything is just so easy. Everything is, oh yeah, it's just another day. And God's like, that's not actually how this is going to work. I mean, look at Paul. You know, Paul had no lack of faith. He had no lack in belief and understanding of who he was and what he was called to do. And yet he went through both good times and bad times. He suffered for the cross. He suffered for the cause. He suffered for Jesus' name. He also experienced great times. He tells us that. And so it doesn't really matter. Like, God is not like, well, if you would just believe more, then you'd spend more time in the summer and the good things, in the spring and the new life. Instead, it's like, look, there, if you're going to follow me, then things are going to die. Spiritually speaking, what do I mean by that? And I think this is something that's just so, so important to talk about, because I think sometimes we get this idea that, like, well, if God is in something, then it'll just always be good. It'll always succeed. It will always do what we want it to do. But I think what we have to remember is, what's the point of life here on earth for us? What's the point? Is it for us to be comfortable and safe and happy and blessed with all the material things and not have to have any worries and not to have any sickness? Is that the point of what God has called us to be here on this earth? If we're going to be followers of Christ, is that the point? And I hope for you, the answer is no, that's not the point. The point is to know God and to make him known. And there actually is a journey, and part of that journey is how do we have faith when times are difficult and when times are good? Like, how do we have faith throughout the whole cycle? We know there's an old famous saying that there was a king, and I don't remember all the details, but there was a king who was feeling sad, and they wanted some wise men to tell him something that would make him feel better. And so they gave him the statement, "This too shall pass." And it made him was like, "Oh yeah, okay, yeah, this is gonna, whatever thing that I'm going through, it's going to eventually end." But it made him, so that made him happy. But then he got sad again because he realized that every time he was having a, like, good things happening to him, that too would eventually pass. And so much of our modern culture is trying to grab onto good. And we use money and we use power and we use politics and we use all of these things to try to just keep our, we try to grow beyond our season of spring and summer. And so that we try to have two season lives. And the reality is that we are all going to face throughout different stages of our lives, spring, summer, fall, and winter. And it's a falsity to think that winter is only because we've somehow walked away from God or because we've sinned. And rather that it is a season of our spiritual walk that we have to go through. And it's actually a season that where our strength has the greatest opportunity to grow. Our faith has the greatest opportunity to grow is when times are the hardest. And so when we talk about like, oh, I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to follow after God. I want to be closer. I want to be more like the person that he wants me to be like, then if you're going to say that, then there's going to be a season of winter that you're going to go through. And some things are going to have to die. And again, here's what I mean by that. And here's, I think, some specific things that I see that we sometimes just try to hold on to so much because we just want the control. We just want to make work. Here's some things that I think may die so that you can go through the winter and see the new life, the new spring that God has for you. And it may be rebirth, it may be resurrection, some of these things, or it might just be time where God says, I'm taking you in a new direction. It's not rebirth, it's not resurrection, it's new and it's good. So here's some things that I think that we don't like to think about in this way, but I think it's very important. So what are some things that may have to die so that we can be into the newness of what God's doing? Personally, it might be some ambitions that you have, some goals that you have. You wanted to do this. You wanted to be this. You wanted to accomplish this. And you've just been dreaming about this. And you've been praying like, God, I want to do this. God, is this where you want me to do? And sometimes God's like, no, like you've been doing this and you've been chasing this, but it's time to let it die. It's not going to happen. It's time to say, all right, God, I hear your call and I know I want this thing over here, but that's not where you're leading me. And maybe you'll lead me back to that someday, but I'm going to let it go. It's got to die. It's got to pass. God may resurrect it because he's got resurrection power. He may bring new life because he's got that new life. But we can't do that. He can't resurrect it until we bury it, until we let it go. So it may be some ambition that you have. It might be a dream. Oh, God, my heart, I've been dreaming this for so long, God. And God's like, you got to let it go. You got to let it go. That dream's not good enough for you. That dream's not what I have for you. That dream is not where I need you to be, because I have more, better, newer, different things than that dream. You got to let it go. You got to let it die. You got to live in that Saturday with that, right? Where you're in between Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection, and you don't know what's going to happen next, like the disciples. You got to let it go. It's death day. You've got to let it go so that you can experience what God has next. So that you can experience spring. So you can't get through winter until you let go of what needs to die. It might be a relationship. It might be something that you've been trying to make work and it just doesn't. It might be somebody that's not good for you. You know, I am not, you know, my wife and I got married. We said divorce is not an option for us. And so we are committed to working through those things. And so it's, I'm not saying that I'm saying that that has to happen, but maybe there's parts of that a relationship that they, that you have to let go of. That's not saying, oh, we're going to let this die, so we're going to go out, everybody go out and get a divorce because our relationship's not working. No, but maybe some of those expectations you had, maybe some of those desires and dreams that you had, they might, you might have to lay them down. You might have to say, you know what, I may not get to have those things like I want them. I'm going to let them go. And then continue to be faithful with God, because we know that Sunday is coming. We don't know when, we don't know what it's going to look like, but we do know that God, that if we live the cycles, if we're talking about the cycles, we know that the springtime is follows death. And so as things die, we know that we're planting the seeds, we're planting the material that God will use for resurrection, that he'll use for new life, that he'll bring newness into your life with. But sometimes it's relationships. Sometimes it's letting people go. Or letting parts of our relationship go and saying, I wanted this, but you know what? It's not going to happen. So I'm going to let that go. I'm going to give that to God. I'm going to give that up. I'm going to lay that down on the altar, and I'm not going to pick that back up. I'm going to let it die. It might be your career, your job. It might be the money you wanted to make. It might be something you wanted to own. It might be some prestige thing that you wish that you could get, you have, that people would look at you as a success, as a hero, as a trendsetter, as a game changer, that people would think of you as someone to be revered and celebrated. And it may just not, it may not be for you. God just may be calling you to be faithful. Just be faithful, not successful. You know, this is I think such a hard thing, because as a pastor, a lot of times of churches, like people, like they get so wrapped up into the ego of a successful church, and then they want to hold on to, like, how do I keep growing? Wouldn't God want us just to keep growing and growing and growing and growing? And the answer is, God wants to see people reach, but there's a spiritual cycle that happens with these things. And the truth is that if you're at a church that's growing now, that at some day, at some point, some other church will just be the church that's growing, and you won't be that church anymore. And that's okay. But when our egos get wrapped up into, oh, I've grown this is my thing, and not, this is only because this, we grow because God is doing something here, and realize that the God will probably move and do something somewhere else, and that's okay, because God helps us all, like churches even, walk through these seasons of growth. I mean, if you're having success now as a church, you have to realize that it's because God used some things that died in the past to bring new life, new spiritual. So spiritual death in the past has become the material, which has become new life. But doesn't make it easy to go through. Like if you're in the seasons of winter, it doesn't make it easy. Even to think about, oh, I know that one day God is gonna roll things back around in the spring, and sometimes it's even hard for us to just know. Sometimes we feel like we're in all the seasons at the same time. And it's hard to know, God, what are you doing? Like, what is going on here? And it's hard. And so we pray for wisdom and discernment, because it's hard to know sometimes. And yet we have to remind ourselves that more, better success is not always how we follow God. Sometimes it's in the shipwrecks. I mean, if you look at Paul's life, I mean, I said that earlier, but to think about it, like sometimes, like Paul's like, I'm on this journey, and he, you know, God's like, yeah, you are. Here's a little bit of a pit stop, though, Paul. You're going to go through a shipwreck or two or three. Hey, Paul, come over to Macedonia. And yeah, this is where I want you. Oh, by the way, you're going to end up in prison. I mean, it would have all of us going, you know, if these are the stories of the missionaries that we send out, we'd be like, is this God really in this? Like, if God was in it, wouldn't it be more successful? If God wanted it to be done, wouldn't it just be easy? And the answer is maybe, but usually no. Usually God allows us to live out our seasons, and he allows us to live through the difficult things, because how else do we show faith? How else do we grow in faith? Like, if we don't want to be spiritual babies the rest of our lives, if God doesn't want spiritual babies following him and being his people the rest of their lives, then he has to let us go through the things that will make us grow. At some point, a child gets too big to carry around. And most kids are like, I'm tired of being carried around anyway. I'd like to be walking now. But at some point, the baby gets up and becomes to walk on their own. Because they mature, because they grow. And as a parent, you're not evil or wrong for encouraging them to do that. You know, a good parent is like, yeah, you need to learn how to walk. And then as they grow older, there are milestones that you need to help them grow into being able to make their own decisions and be an independent thinker and all of these things that make you a good parent. And the same is true of God. Like, God does not want spiritual babies. Paul tells that to the Corinthians. He's like, you guys should be eating spiritual meat, and you're here having to be fed milk because you're such babies in your faith. He's like, grow up. And one of the ways we grow is when we go through seasons of fall and winter time, when things are not easy, when things don't go our way, when we see things through the lens of death and we see things die. What do you do with your soul and your heart when you experience times of death? When you're in your winter, in your career, in your relationships, what do you do? How you live will reflect the character of faith that you have. The disciples gathered, and I'm sure they reminisced. I'm sure they asked, what are we going to do? I'm sure they prayed. I'm sure they were not excited to be in a winter period because they just saw their Messiah die. And they don't immediately get with the program, right? Like you have this story in John. Jesus has come back. He's been resurrected. And Peter wakes up one day and he goes, you know what? I'm just going to go be a fisherman again. He's like, I'm just going to go fish. And the disciples were like, yeah, that's probably for the best. Well, let's go fish again. Let's go be who we were before Jesus interrupted our lives. Let's go back to the old me. So they go fishing. And Jesus shows up, because this is after his resurrection, and he's got his perfected body, whatever that looks like, and he shows up on the shore and starts to make a fire, and he calls out to Peter, and he's like, hey, have you guys caught anything? And Peter's like, no, nothing. So he says, yeah, okay, we'll throw your nets on the other side. And the net was so full, you know, it's a repeat of the story of how Jesus called Peter to be a disciple. And Peter is like, it's the Lord. And so he jumps out of the boat and he swims to the shoreline because he's like, I can't go back. There's a temptation for us, I think for all believers, that when we experience loss, when we experience winter, to want to just give up, to leave it, to let it go. And our faith becomes the thing that dies. And Jesus is calling and saying, don't give up. Jesus is walking with us saying, no, I called you for something greater than this. Not everything in life gets tied up with a pity bow. I wish it did. I'll leave you with this thought and a challenge. There's a chapter in Hebrews that people love because it's the faith chapter. It's the heroes of the faith, and they talk about it, and they talk about Abraham and Moses and Elijah, and they just go through this, you know, this hall of fame of all the saints with all their faith, and then they get to this part where they say, and then there's others, and they prayed, and they had their sons returned to them, and they had those that were dead being brought back to life, and they were saved, and then it said, but then there were still others. And he ends, this is how he ends the chapter, and he says, there were still others who, though they had the same caliber and had the same energy for their faith, they had the same faith, they didn't see rescue. They were sawn in two. They were persecuted. They were driven out into be destitute. They did not receive that which they truly hoped for. And this is what Hebrews says. It says that the world was not worthy of them. And they won't see their springtime until the resurrection. And I think sometimes we don't like that answer. I don't like that answer. Like, but sometimes the answer is, and sometimes it's just hard to know where we're at in that. What's God doing? But regardless, we are called to live out our faith faithfully, in full integrity, to chase after him with all that we have, whatever season we might be in. And if we face some things in our life that have to die, that we have to let go of, may we do that in knowing that God will redeem and bring springtime and bring new life. Even if he doesn't resurrect that which died, he will use that to bring new life, to bring springtime again. And even if we don't see it on this side of death, we know that we can join with those in the last, in that chapter in Hebrews, that they did not see the thing that was promised for them, and the world was not worthy of them, but one day they will, and we'll join them in that. Happy Death Day. We don't celebrate death. I don't celebrate any kind of loss. But sometimes things must die. Our feelings, our emotions, our ideas, our relationships, our jobs, our ambitions, our life goals, sometimes they crash and burn. What you do when you experience your winter, or when you experience many winters, will make all the difference, because it is about who you are as a follower of Jesus. And Jesus is calling you to be matured, to grow up in your faith and not just stay as a spiritual baby. And part of that is facing loss. It's what the disciples had to do. And when they embraced that, God used them to turn the world upside down. So what is it in your life that you feel like God may be saying you've got to let go of so that I can bring new life? You got to let die so I can resurrect it in a new way, so that I can bring new life. What is it? Where is it that God might be guiding you to let to move in such a way so that you can experience a springtime and get out of your winter? If you're in summertime and everything's going well, God bless. If you're in fall time, you're starting to see things start to decline, God bless. Just know that it won't always stay the same. Things will continue to change. The cycles will be there. You're going to go through spring and summer and fall and winter, and you're going to continue to do that until we have a new heaven, new earth, because that's the way God has made things, both physically and spiritually. And even though our culture today wants to fight hard against that and say, no, we are the champions of our own destinies, the truth is that we're not. We depend upon God. So wherever you might be, I pray for you. I pray that you will find ways to worship God with all that you have in every circumstance. You know, the old praise song by Matt Redman, you know. Oh man, I've sang that so many times, and now that it's just blessed be your name. You know, you give and take away. You give and take away. Either way, I'll choose to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. May we live that out graciously, and may we encourage one another as we go through both the times of bountiful seasons and barren winters. Thank you guys for listening. Hope that this is encouraging to you. As always, you can reach out theunbrokenground at gmail.com. I'm also on Facebook / theunbrokenground as a page. You can send a message there. I'm on Be Real. I'm on Instagram. Yeah. If you have those questions, you know, check it out. Spotify has a place where you can put comments. All those places are places that I generally will get notification that I've got feedback, and I will do my best to reach back out to you. But I hope you have a wonderful, blessed week, and I hope that you're challenged to chase after God. Until next time.